So I'm going to put it back where it belongs.
Yeah.
He raised the question, so he's going to ask all the questions.
Okay.
We wanted to ask, can everyone hear me? Yeah, at the back? You can hear me?
Okay. Give me the loudspeaker.
We wanted to ask Rebbe about the unique nature of YU nowadays. So given the reality that for many fields, a quick and cheap online degree is more than sufficient, what does one gain from being in a place like YU where the secular education is a large part of the day? Why wouldn't one choose to attend a yeshiva where he can devote many more hours in his week to Torah learning and still be fully positioned to make a parnasa?
If you think you can succeed somewhere else, isn't that? I'm not selling YU. That's not what we have. We have big Talmid Chachamim who have big traditions. In our yeshiva, we have a lot of traditions. How to learn Gemara, how to learn how to Paskin Shilas. If you have another yeshiva, we're going to learn more Gizantahit. I don't know. I'm not so familiar. I don't think there are too many yeshivas where they learn better than YU. I learned in Lakewood also, when Rabbi Aaron Cutler was there. There was a group of boys, Rabbi Tendler. I was 13 years old. I was the youngest of the group. Rabbi Moshe David Tendler was my Rebbe in the first year of high school. And that summer, after the first year of high school, he sent a whole group of boys to Lakewood. And Rabbi Aaron Cutler fired them up to learn. But his shiurim didn't help them learn. He gave them pilpul-style shiur. He said himself, his style shiur is based on the Chidush Arim. That's not the common style of learning today. Everybody goes for brisk now. The Baran Kotel was a very big Talmud Chacham, but it wasn't at all the brisk style. A different style. There are many different yeshivas in New York. Each one has a different style. YU has, more or less, most of the Rabbeim have a certain style that's more similar to Rav Soloveitchik's.
To what degree are yeshivas and other educational institutions responsible for providing their student body with professional help, whether psychological or emotional, etc., specifically when it comes to addictive substances or behaviors?
So you say, to what extent?
To what degree are yeshivas and other educational institutions responsible for providing their student with professional help, professional psychological or emotional help?
The yeshiva has a whole staff of psychologists. They help the students have problems. All the schools should have. Not all of them have. But the yeshiva has quite a staff of psychologists.
So somebody asked a question about learning Chassidus, which said can be in the form of Hirishim on the Parasha and Modim, or Sfarim targeted towards explaining basic concepts of in Chassidus has traditionally not been part of the standard curriculum of offering yeshiva learns, nor has it been widely studied by working Balabatim. Yet many have taken to this type of Torah and feel it inspires the overall Avodas Hashem, including in the traditional areas of Halacha, Gemara learning, and Tefillah. Is this a positive development that should be encouraged, or does Rebbe think that for too many people, Chassidus provides a temporary, superficial spiritual high that risks being a replacement for traditional Gemara learning and careful halachic observance?
I'm not sure myself. I am suspicious that it may be the second way. I know that we used to have a rabbi in the yeshiva who used to give shmosin, and every drasha was exactly the same punchline. Even if you're deep into sin, you can always pull yourself out. And somehow he spoke to the hearts of many of the students. When he would speak, all the boys who would never come, if I would speak, they would all come to listen to him. It was a very good drasha, but I'm not sure how lasting an effect this is going to have. I don't know. My impression is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Barasi Yetzahar, Barasi La Torah Tavlin. My impression is, Torah Tavlin is the Torah. Baba Kama, Baba Tzia, Yavamas, that's Torah is the Tavlin. My impression is that the Hasidus is not going to be the Tavlin. I think it may be only a temporary piercing thing. I don't think that it's going to have a keel. I think the Torah Tavlin, when you learn real Torah, Gemara with Taisus and Shulchan Aruch, that's Torah Tavlin. Not sure.
Does Rebbe believe that the current modern Orthodox educational institutions and Orthodox educational institutions more generally are sufficiently preparing the next generation for a life of Torah and mitzvahs?
They are not. Absolutely not. The elementary schools, the teachers are wet behind the ears. Instead of teaching basics, when the students come to Eretz Yisrael to learn, the rabbis of Eretz Yisrael said they're way behind. They should have known much more. They don't know the ABC. I visited some of the yeshivas. They spent the whole year on two blot gemara just translating the words. There's nothing to discuss there, nothing to analyze. What were they spending a couple of months since the beginning of the year? I don't know. Here I think it's a stronger yeshiva. The students here are stronger. I don't know. When I was in elementary school, I was born in the middle of the Second World War. When I was in elementary school, my rabbeim, I was fortunate in this sense, my rabbeim were refugees who had learned in Europe and yeshivas. They were steeped in learning. When they were teaching us Chumash and Rashi, they knew all these Rashis from the Gemara. They didn't have to read Rashi. They knew the Gemara with the Rashi, with the Tosfos, with the Pnei Yeshua. They didn't need Rashi and Chumash to tell them. Now my impression is that a lot of the rabbis who teach us Cholos Chumash are wet behind the ears. They themselves don't know what Rashi says. They don't know how to interpret it. So they're guessing. I don't know. When I teach in my class, I often use the Gemara as a pretext. When I'm teaching Gemara, I put in a lot of Jewish history. I put in a lot of Halacha Lamaisa. I put a lot of Hashkafe. I spend a lot of time on the Gemara also. But I see the students are missing. They don't have background of Jewish history. They don't. The Vilna Goyen lived in the days of the Goyenim, or the days of the Rishonim. Well, when did he live? He was a Goyen. When did he live? They don't know the ABCs of history. Who came first? Who came second? So machloik is the one and the other. They didn't live in the same generation. What are machloik's one and the other? Could they know each other? The boys are missing a lot of Jewish history, which is very important. A lot of hashkafa. Boys are missing chumash. You got to know chumash. You got to know chumash in Rashi. You have to meet Mother Sedra every week. The boys are missing a lot. The basics. I don't know. I think it's some kind of a lack in the elementary school. We need all of you people have to go into chinuch. There's a big crisis now in America. We don't have enough good people going into chinuch. You have to train to go into chinuch. If a fellow learns in the kollel a few years, he learns extra. Then even if he's going to teach third grade, he'll be a better rebbe in the third grade. If you understand the din better, you can explain it on an elementary level for a younger child better. You're not going to give him the whole Torah that you heard from the Pnei Yeshua, from the Nesivos, whatever. But if you really understand it then better, you can teach it better to a young child. They'll understand it better. I think the boys don't learn Tanakh. They don't teach Tanakh anywhere. They don't teach Siddur. The Rabbeim don't teach Chumash because they know they don't know Chumash. They teach Gemara because they think they know Gemara. A lot of Rabbis don't understand Gemara. Gemara has its own style of logic. You have to know the style of logic of the Gemara. They say they printed the name of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik that he told his children you shouldn't dare say a svara in learning before they finish all of Shas with Rashi. You have to know what is the style of Talmudic logic. It's a different style of thinking. I don't know. There's something very wrong in all the yeshivas. They're missing basics of Jewish history, missing basics of Hashkofer, missing Nevi'im Uksuvim. What is a boycott on Nevi'im Uksuvim? Halacha, they don't learn halacha. What's the kids of Shulchan? They don't know basic Nevi'im, kids of Shulchan. I don't know, they have to work it out, all the yeshivas. Every yeshiva is afraid to change because they're going to make fun of their yeshiva. They should all join together and they should all change the whole system. It needs a big tikkun. It's a big problem. The Rabbanim and the yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael say they notice it right away. When the boys come after high school, they don't know as much as they used to know 10 years ago. It's a big problem.
Somewhat related question to that. Somebody asked, is a college degree necessary for a career in chinuch?
For many years it was assumed that it is necessary because you have to be able to speak the same language as the community. But now, the last couple of years, we see it's not really necessary. If a person is with it, and he knows how to speak English, and he knows how to, he reads the New York Times, and he's up on the latest chidushim in physics and chemistry, he can relate to the students. He can explain things in a reasonable way of explanation. Now, a person can do well in chinuch and rabbanus without going to university. But you can never tell if you're going to go into chinuch, you're going to have another job. If you have to go into a different field where you will need a university education, then what are you going to do then? Then you've got to start all over again to take the university. If you're married, you have children. You've got to make a living. Yeah.
What should educational institutions do to provide a sense of meaning and fulfillment in their Judaism so the Talmidim understand why they do mitzvahs and not just what or how to do them?
The Rabbeim should explain what Tamei mitzvahs. That's a whole big chunk of Jewish literature. The Sefer HaChinuch and the Mekubalim and the Hasidim and the Misnagdim and the Rambam and the Moreh Nevuchim. Everybody talks about Tamei mitzvahs. We should transmit this to the students. That's a whole chunk of Limud, yeah. The Gemara has a machlokes says whether Dashina Tamei Dekra, Loi Dashina Tamei Dekra means whether the Tamei HaMitzvahs are one of the Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Ben, that it should regulate the application of the mitzvah. Whenever the time of the Kruah doesn't apply, the mitzvah doesn't apply. But everybody agrees that you do figure out timing for the mitzvahs. All the Tanaim agree. That's a Tosis in Gittin has like that. Haschina quotes it every 50 pages, he quotes a Tosis in Gittin. Everybody agrees that you have to try to figure out what moral, ethical, or religious principle is the Torah driving at by giving us this mitzvah. The question is whether Dashina Taim and Nikra, whether the Tamei HaMitzvahs are one of the Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Ben, that it should regulate the application. Whenever the reason doesn't apply, the mitzvah shouldn't apply. No, it's a light plug device. But everybody agrees, you should try to figure out Tamei HaMitzvahs. That's a chelik of Talmud Torah. Yeah, we're missing a lot of that today. People observe mitzvahs like a chok. They're not even trying to understand what is a mitzvah, what lesson. What moral, ethical, or religious lesson is a mitzvah trying to teach us? In the Gemara, does hold like that. That's why the Rambam wrote in Moreh Nevuchim a lot. The third chelik Moreh Nevuchim writes a lot about Tamei HaMitzvah. The Chinuch writes a lot, and all the Chassidish Svarim, they all write a lot about Tamei HaMitzvahs. Yeah.
Over a quarter of the Chutznik program in this yeshiva does not live in America, meaning that YU is not necessarily a practical option for them. So what should they do regarding college? Should they go to a secular institution, or should they not go to college at all?
One, going to a secular college is a major problem. We have people who learned in high-level yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael 3 years before they went to college, and then they went to a secular college, and they married a non-Jewish girl who's half undressed who sat next to them in class. After learning all their lives in yeshiva, they're learning in a high-level yeshiva, not the Haskalah's Gemara. The yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, this is a higher-level yeshiva. There are lower-level yeshivas. After learning 3 years in a high-level yeshiva, he goes and he marries a non-Jewish girl. So there's something wrong over there. It's a big danger. Daniel is one of 24 books in the Holy Bible. The Sefer Daniel, he says, Baruch HaKodesh, the Jews will be in Golus, and they will intermarry, and they will assimilate, and many Jews will disappear, and only the religious Jews will remain, the maskilim. We usually say maskilim on the apikursim in modern language, but in Tanakh, the word maskilim means the Orthodox Jews. And then the next generation, amina maskilim, it says in Daniel, and from the Orthodox, many of their children will assimilate, intermarry, and disappear, and the Jewish people will keep on shrinking and shrinking. We do whatever we can to slow it down, to prevent it from happening. We have a lot of success in Kiruv, but there are more people who are dropping out than there are joining in. Yeah, but an awful lot of people are dropping out. Awful lot of people are giving up on the whole religion. This is what Daniel said, this is what to be expected. You live by the corpse. If you go to Goyish University, it's a very big Nisayan. It's a very big risk that you may intermarry. A very big. Whatever Hitler didn't succeed in doing, the Jews are doing now on their own. They're intermarrying and they're disappearing. It's a major problem. We should try to figure something out to make sure that to prevent intermarriage. Rabbi Soloveitchik used to always say in public that whoever is in Chinuch HaRabbanus in Chutz Laretz is not permitted to go on Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. All those in Chinuch HaRabbanus are fighting assimilation, fighting into marriage, they're not allowed to leave. He was very upset when his children moved to Eretz Yisrael. He used to say in public, anyone a chinuch rabban, not allowed to leave. He used to say, the captain of the ship is not allowed to leave until all the passengers are accounted for. The general in the army is not allowed to leave until all the soldiers are accounted for. And he felt, I used to laugh in my heart, what captain of the ship, what general in the army was he talking about? And then I found the Chub in the Maramshik has the exact same lashon. I don't think Rabbi Soloveitchik knew who the Maramshik was. I don't think he saw it then. Maybe he heard it from Rabbi Chaim Moiser, that lashon. But Rabbi Chaim Moiser was corresponding with Rav Kook. Rav Kook wanted Rav Chaim Moiser to move to Eretz Yisrael, to retire from Vilna, and to move to Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Kook would be the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael, and Rav Chaim Moiser would be Reish Kol B'nei HaGoyla, a title. Reish Kol B'nei HaGoyla. So they had an apartment, and they had a salary, and they had a title. Everything was all set up. And then the last minute, Rav Chaim Moiser backed out. And he sent a letter to Rav Kook to have the letter was printed. That he consulted the other Rabbanim in Vilna, and they said that he's still needed there. They won't be able to function as well without him. And he refers to the Tshuva and the Maramshik. Maramshik was fighting reform during the lifetime of the Chasam Sofer. That's when the reform began. And then after the Chasam Sofer passed away in Hungary, that's when it began. He lived in Hungary at the end of his life. And after he passed away, it was worse than before. There was more reform. There was stronger. So the son of the Chasam Sofer, the Ksav Sofer, and the Maramshik was a student of the Chasam Sofer. They were the ones who were fighting the battle against the reform. So the Maramshik had a student who got smicha, who was a Rabbanus, who was fighting reform all the time. And he didn't enjoy it. So he was offered a position of Rabbanus in Eretz Yisrael in the late 1800s, an Einfall. He was offered a Rabbanus with a decent salary, he should move to Eretz Yisrael and give shiurim at Paschen Shailas and sit and learn. That's what they want him. So he was thrilled. So he packed all of his suitcases and he's ready to leave. And he sent a letter to the Maramshik. He wants a blessing from the Rebbe on his move. So his Rebbe, the Maramshik, says, I can't give you the blessing. And he goes with this whole story. The captain of the ship is not allowed to leave, and the general of the army is not allowed to leave, and you're fighting assimilation, and you're fighting intermarriage, and you're not allowed to leave. Wow. He says, I can't give you a bracha, you're doing shaloi kedin. That's exactly the lashon there, Rav Soloveitchik. Maybe you heard it from Rav Chaim Moiser. Rav Soloveitchik was not so familiar. Rav Chaim Moiser knew all of the yeshivish Torahs. He knew all of the Achranim. He knew everything. But Rav Soloveitchik was in the university in Berlin. His parents moved to America. So his father wasn't around in Europe to talk to him and learn him. If you call on the phone, years ago, call on the phone, the expense was prohibitive. It was so expensive to talk long distance. If you call from New York to Montreal, you would only talk for half a minute because the charge would be unbelievable. Now it's nothing. No, it doesn't cost any money to talk on the phone. So Rav Soloveitchik couldn't talk with his father in learning. So every so often he would take a train from Berlin to go to Vilna to talk and learning with Rav Chaim Moiser. So he used to talk about learning, and he used to talk about hashkafa, different things. So that's one of the things, that probably one of the things that he must have heard from Rav Chaim Moiser, this marshal with the captain of the ship, all the rabbanim and chutz lords are fighting assimilation, and the general in the army. It is a big problem. It is a big problem. One should avoid as much as possible going to a secular university. And if you have no choice, then for sure you should stay in the dormitory. That for sure not. You should go home every day. Stay in the dormitory. That's the worst thing of all. Yeah.
Could Rebbe please describe how his relationship with Rav Soloveitchik first began and how it evolved over time? And further to that, who does Rebbe consider his Rebbeim other than Rav Soloveitchik?
Rabbi Soloveitchik used to give a shiur on his father's yahrzeit, which is Gimel Shvat. Every year he used to give a big shiur for 4 hours long. And the people would sit glued to their seats and listen to 4 hours. They'd be prepared to listen to another 4 hours. He was such a good speaker. He explained everything. Some rabbanim give a shiur, so the greatness of the shiur is that after 5 minutes everybody's lost. He gives such a complicated shiur. That's ridiculous. Rabbi Soloveitchik would take the most complicated passage in the Gemara, most complicated, difficult Rambam, and make it easy. He took the most complicated Gemaras and made everything easy, understandable. So he used to give on his father's Yortzeit. He would give a shiur for 4 hours, Yortzeit Rosha. The first 2 hours would be halacha. He would go through a Gemara and ask a whole bunch of kashas. He worded the such kashas. He worded the kashas in such a way that you thought no one in the world can possibly answer these kashas. And then he would quote another Gemara, and what he sees in that Gemara, a certain idea, and that idea answers all the kashas. He wouldn't make up new ideas. His style of learning, you don't make up svaras. He would answer a difficult Gemara based on another Gemara. You see, he started another Gemara that sheds light on this Gemara. If you put all the Gemaras together, everything makes more sense in the context. So that was his style all the time. Whenever you have the Gemara is full of machloikas, the Mishnahs are full of machloikas, and whenever there's a machloikas, he would say there's one point that they disagree on. There are 99 points that they agree on. First, let's analyze the 99 dinim that they agree on. Then we'll be able to understand better based on the context. What's the one point that they disagree? So he would always give background. He would always start from the pasuk. What's the simple reading of the pasuk, and then how the Torah Shabbat has an additional level of interpretation on the pasuk, and then he would develop all the ideas. What does Rameh say? What does Rameh say? He would explain everything based on that. He gave a lot of background. The more background you have, so the better you understand. Whenever you learn a mesichta, the more you learn into the mesichta, things will be better understood in the context of all the other dinim. That's what it means to develop a derech. You have 1,001 dinim, and you have to figure out which dinim are connected, which dinim are totally unrelated, which are not connected. And a lot of times, like the Baal HaMor points out in one place, a lot of times you have the exact same expression in the Gemara and Tuz Masechta has a totally different meaning. They're not connected with each other, even though the wording is exactly the same. And sometimes you have where the wording is totally different, but it's exactly the same basis. The same idea behind the two Gemara. That's what a derech is all about, to figure out which dinam are connected, which dinam are not. Some people have a practice, they think this is brisk. This is not brisk at all. They learn one din and they analyze it to death. That's not brisk. Brisk, you learn 1,001 dinam. You're trying to figure out which dinam are connected, which dinam are not connected, but you just know one din. So what is there to analyze? What is there to philosophize about? What Rav Soloveitchik used to say, you're philosophizing, that was a dirty word in learning. He said philosophy lectures. But when you're learning, you don't philosophize. You have to have a halachic approach. You have to know what are the midrash HaTorah and the dressmen. You can't give svaras. Svaras, common sense svaras, don't always, sometimes they carry weight, and they don't always win the day. You don't always paskin based on common sense. Sometimes you do, and many times you don't paskin based on common sense. You have to know Talmudic logic. So my connection with Rabbi Soloveitchik began before my bar mitzvah. My father used to prepare me to, he would learn with me the Gemara that Rabbi Soloveitchik was going to give the Yortzeit Shiur on. And he took me to listen to the Yortzeit Shiur. So I was so, the first time I heard Rabbi Soloveitchik, I was so upset. I always thought my father was the biggest Talmud Chacham in the world. And I hear this man, he knows how to learn better than my father. Wow. I was before my bar mitzvah, a couple of years before my bar mitzvah. I was so upset, but I got over it. My father took me every year to the Yortzeit Drasha. That was fantastic. And then when I was a student in the yeshiva, so at one point the rabbeim recommended that they should put me in Rabbi Soloveitchik's class. I was very fortunate. I heard shiurim from Rabbi Soloveitchik for quite a few years when he was healthy, in the good years when he had a lot to say. When at my time he only gave a shiur twice a week, Tuesday and Wednesday, in Yiddish he used to speak, and he used to speak very quickly, and he gave so much background, he had so much to say on everything. He had original insights, not all his original, things that he heard from other Gedolim, from his grandparents, or from other Gedolim of the generation. He had original insights on every page in the Chumash, every page in the Siddur, every page in the Shulchan Aruch, every page in the Gemara. He had original insights. Very fascinating. He had insights halacha lemaisa. He had traditions. He had a paskin halacha lemaisa. You don't always follow like that. It was a while that Chacham Avadia spent a week in the yeshiva. So we were listening, we were asking, Mishal listening. We had the impression he didn't have any traditions out of paskin. He just worked everything. He's a great goyim. He knew a lot. But he didn't have traditions in psak. he would count up, he was familiar with all the sources, he would count up the poskim and say one way or the other way. He would follow the majority. That's not the way others poskim. You don't always poskim based on the majority. You poskim, what's the tradition in Pesach? You have a lot of traditions. Sometimes Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, sometimes Rav Soloveitchik's other grandfather was one of the goyim. Rav Soloveitchik's mother's maiden name was Feinstein. She was the first cousin of Rav Moshe Feinstein. So they were connected with each other. They would talk on the phone all the time. A few times a year they would talk on the phone. Rav Moshe Feinstein was a cousin of Rav Soloveitchik's, first cousin of Rav Soloveitchik's mother. Who are my other rabbeim? I was never so close with Rav Soloveitchik. I didn't ask him any eitzes. My father was a Talmid Chacham. My father guided me. I didn't ask him any shailos. I just attended the shiur, that's all. But the shiur, he had so much to say. He would say, Achumish and Agamari and Halacha Lamaisa and the Siddur. He spoke about everything. He had an insight into everything. And most of them are not his original. Most of them he picked up from other Gedolim. He would always identify. He heard this from this Gedolim, from that Gedolim, from the other Gedolim. He had traditions on everything. He had a lot of different hanhogas. He did mitzvahs a little differently from everybody else, but he had makarmas for everything. And they weren't his original makarmas. These were traditions that they had in the Valojin, or traditions. He was born and brought up in a Lubavitcher village. His father was a rabbi in a Lubavitcher village. There was a story about that also. How come it was a Lubavitcher village and they always had a misnaget as the rabbi? So he had a story about that. He had a story about everything. He would tell stories in the middle of the shiur. So you would remember the shiur because you remember the story. The story was so fascinating, you remember the shiur. So he would tell over the story every so often that there was a big machlokes when Napoleon wanted to conquer the whole world. So he wanted to emancipate the Jews. He wanted to give the Jews equal rights to treat them as human beings. So it was a big dispute among the Chassidish Rabbeim, among the Chassidish Tzaddikim, whether they should pray for Napoleon to win the war or to lose the war. So many of the Chassidish Rebbes felt you have to pray he should win the war because he promises emancipation for the Jews. And the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Alter Rebbe, said, no, if the Jews are going to have emancipation, then they're going to assimilate, intermarry, they'll just disappear. The Jews only know how to be successful when they don't have equal rights. So the Alter Rebbe was praying that Napoleon should lose the war. And in fact, the story goes that somehow all the Chassidish Tzaddikim, they all felt whoever's going to blow shofar first, that Rosh Hashanah, his prayers will be answered. So one of the Rebbes told this Chassidim, one of the Rebbes who felt that he wanted Napoleon should win the war. So he told the Chassidim, this year we're going to daven at the crack of dawn, we're going to daven vasikim, I'm not going to give any drushes, not going to say any piyutim, we're going to daven quickly, so that we'll blow shofar first and our prayers will be answered. And then, when it came to the Kiyah Shofar, the Rebbe felt that he lost already. He felt in his heart that the Litvak won. The Lubavitcher Rebbe was the one of the Litvak. He must have blown shofar before us. So a few months later, when he met up with Alter Rebbe, he met the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, so he asked him, I understand you must have blown shofar before. How did you do that so quickly? We started at before Hanetz Achama. We davened Vasikim. We left at all the piyutim. Left everything up. So the Alter Rebbe said he felt that it was such an important issue, he blew shofar before Shachris. He felt it a matter of life and death to save the Jewish people. So the Alter Rebbe had French Hasidim who were spying on the French army, and they were giving all of their plans in the waging the war. They were giving all the secrets of Napoleon's army. They were giving it over to the Russians. And after much research, the French army came to the realization that Schneerson was involved, that the first Lubavitcher Rebbe was the one who was organizing this this campaign. So they decided they're going to kill Schneerson. They're going to catch the Lubavitcher Rebbe, they're going to kill him. Because he's responsible for losing all the wars because he's giving over all the secrets to the Russian army. So they finally tracked him down, and he was in Khaslavich, in this village where Rav Soloveitchik was born. And they said, the French army surrounded the whole village, they were going to go from house to house to catch Schneerson and to kill him. So the Lubavitcher Chassidim were afraid they're gonna kill him. So the rabbi happened to be a Misnagid from Volozhin. I forgot the name, Rabbi Soloveitchik told over the name. So the rabbi happened to be a Misnagid. So the Chassidim asked the Rebbe, they told him that they asked the Rav of the city that the French soldiers are looking for the rabbi, they want to kill him. Would you agree to hide out the Lubavitcher Rebbe and to tell a lie to the French armies that he's not in your house, and maybe they'll take your word for it, maybe they won't search your house? So he said he doesn't agree with the Lubavitcher Rebbe's hashkofe, but he said he would never maser a Jew to the goyim. He said you can hide out the Rebbe, and I'm going to tell the French when they knock on the door, I'm going to tell the Rebbe is not here. So they knocked on the rabbi's door, and they asked him, the French soldier told him they're looking for Schneerson, does he know where he is? So he put on a whole act, he said, Schneerson, he's the greatest danger to the Jewish people, he's an apikiris, and he's destroying the whole religion, let me get my hands on him, I'll choke him to death with my own hands. So they figured they don't have to search in his house. He wants to choke the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So they took his word for it, that he's not there, he was hiding out in the basement of the rabbi's home. So they looked in all the houses and they couldn't get him. And they figured somehow he slipped down. So after the French army left, they thought that they missed him somehow. Then the rabbi came out of hiding and he made a comment. Sometimes it's a mazel that the rabbi in a Chassidish city is a misnagid. Sometimes it's a mila. So from that time on, they always appointed Rabbanim from Volozhin to be in Chaslavich. So that's Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik. Rabbi Soloveitchik's father was a rabbi in Chaslavich. That was the tradition, because the first Lubavitcher Rebbe said. So Rabbi Soloveitchik had a lot of traditions from Volozhin, because his family was connected to Volozhin. Then had a lot of traditions from Lubavitch, because he was brought up in a Lubavitcher village. The way he would daven, so part of the tefillahs that were different by him were because of Volozhin, part of Vilna Gaon's Nusach, and part of them because of the Lubavitcher. It was a blend of both together. I never asked Rabbi Soloveitchik eitzes about graduate school, about marriage, about anything. I just attended the shiur, that's all. I got an awful lot from the shiur. I think I used to pester him all the time to ask him all kinds of personal shilas and everything. I didn't ask him personal shilas. My father was a rabbi. I asked my father the shilas. Rabbi Soloveitchik was tremendous Baal Masber. He could take the most difficult Gemara and explain it in a way that everyone could understand.
Rabbi, I think that's all we have time for.
Okay, you should all have atzlocha. What time is it now?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock, very good. You should all have atzlocha.